Pnimius Nidaf Yomi Gemar Brachas Daf Lamed Gimel. In the very bottom of Lamed Gimel with Beis, the Gemara recalls a quote from the Mishnah of Modim Modim Mishat Kenoso, that if someone says Modim Modim, if someone in their tefillah says Modim twice, thank you, thank you, we're going to quiet him. And the Gemara dives into what the nature of this is. So Amar Reb Zira says, Kola Omer Shema Shema, anyone who says Shema Shema, anyone who's repeating himself while he's saying Pasuk Shema, Omer Modim Modim. He's just as bad as the guy who says Modim Modim. So they ask a question from a Sira and they answer it up. So then Amar Rav Papa, Rav Papa actually challenges Abaye, and he says, is this true? Vadilma Meikara Lo Kivin Daita. Wait, maybe originally he didn't have Kavana. He wasn't able to focus. He didn't have proper Kavana. Libasel Kivin Daita. So then he repeated it and focused his attention. Why would we set up a scenario where now we could have a guy who would have, you know, had this kavana the second time, and we prevented him from doing it because we were scared that it would sound like two reshuyos, it's not like you're davening to two different people, thanking two different people, saying shema to two different people, or two different beings, right? Why would that be? So I'm relay, so Abai says back, this is really on Daf Lamed Aleph, but chavrusa kalbe shemaya miyika, right? Do you have a chavrusa kalbe shemaya? Meaning, is there, do you have a familiarity? You're friendly or chummy with the words. These are lofty words. These are high things. You can't just like chill with them, and you can't just interact with them casually. Ilokim and the meikara. If somebody didn't have kavana originally, machinin leim b'mirzafta dinavcha adim chamedete. We have to beat him with a blacksmith's tools, the blacksmith's hammer, until he has proper kavana. So this is an interesting Gemara, but the Baal Shem Tov has a very, very beautiful take on this whole Gemara. The Baal Shem Tov and Kesser Shem Tov, it's brought down from the Baal Shem Tov. So Baal Shem Tov explains, he says, why when someone says, Shema Shema, are you silence him? Why do you make him quiet? What's so bad that a person says Shema Shema? So he explains, and he says, pay attention to what words Rabbi Zera points out. Rabbi Zera says, it's anyone who says Shema Shema. He doesn't choose the different Pasuk. He specifically chooses the Pasuk of Shema, not another Pasukim from Krishna or anything like that. And he explains, he says, because what's Kabbalah's Almach HaShemayim? Kabbalah's Almach HaShemayim is that every person is Mechuyev to believe that Hashem's Malei Aretz Kavoido, that Hashem is filling up the whole world, that Hashem is everywhere and in everything and guiding everything. And that there's quotes a lesson from Zohar, Leis Asar Panui Mine, there's not a single place or aspect of reality that's lacking the Ribono Shel Olam. Hashem is omnipresent and living inside of everything, if we could say such a thing. And even the Chol Machshavo Shel Adam, even the thoughts of every single person, Yeshbo Metzias is Baruch. They have the Metzias of Kadosh Baruch to a degree. And every Machshava is something valuable, the Koma Shalima. And if a person, while he's trying to be osik in tefillah, has a certain machshava, if a machshava ra'a, the bad machshava, foreign machshava, machshava zara, comes to a person in the midst of his tefillah, his job is to clearly be mitaking it. But if you're standing in all your shmonas, right, and you keep being plagued by dark thoughts, by inappropriate thoughts, by negative thoughts, the reason those thoughts are coming to you now is that Hashem's kind of animating them. Hashem's the life force behind even a machshava. So if that machshava is now awakening and creeping into your consciousness while you're trying to daven, that's because you have a job, and your job is to be metaking that machshava and to raise it up. And if you don't believe in yourself and you don't believe that this is your goal, says the Baal Shem, then that's not Kabbalah Olmach Shemayim. Kabbalah Olmach Shemayim, accepting upon yourself the yoke of heaven, is to say that every aspect of my life, even the negative thoughts that I have about things, that's part of my, you know, something that my job is to raise that up and to show that, you know, it's also part of the Malchus Shemayim, as Hashem is filled up with everything, even in these, you know, negative thoughts I might have and in these Machshavas Zaros. Right? Because if you say, well, no, Hashem doesn't live in my own bad thoughts, then that's, he says, that's being Makatzer, that's limiting the, that's, you know, the limiting the expanse and the vastness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Metzius. So he says, that's Dafka why, right, he said, if someone says Shema Shema, right, that we say, you have to quiet him. And the Gemara asks, what did we ask? We said, oh, but what do you mean? Maybe the first time he just didn't have kavana. The second time, he had kavana. We say, yes, exactly. If the first time you didn't have kavana, then that shows that you don't have enough of a metzias already. Meaning, in a chanami, it could be the second time you say, okay, no, I'm going to be able to focus better. I didn't have good kavana for Shema. If you weren't able to have kavana by the word Shema, that shows the pagam that you think a machshava zara is something that's chas v'shalom zara, foreign and separate from the Ribbono Shel Olam, and doesn't stem from him. And had you known that everything was part of the Metzias Hashem Yisbarach, you wouldn't need it to say Shema twice. And he says, and that's also the Tzachus Lashon from what it says in the rest, that what do? We beat him with the blacksmith's hammer. What does it mean we beat him? He says the kavana is that the machshava itself is beating a person. Right, like a hammer, it's coming to fix and to raise up, meaning it's coming, it's knocking, it's banging to be rectified. So why did you go back a second time and say Shema as if the first time, there wasn't Hashem there? Right, why would you do that? So that's the Baal Shem Tov's word. It's actually a famous approach that brought down in many of the Sefer Chassidus in terms of tefillah and in terms of, there's different approaches. When you have a machshava zara, a machshava ra'ah in tefillah, how to deal with it and how to engage with it. Should you pause and try to erase it? Should you try to think of other things? Should you engage in it to try to get through to it? So the Baal Shem Tov's approach is, that thought's coming for you, you're supposed to, with your tefillah, be mitaken that thought. You have to believe, and that's what Shema is. When you say Shema Yisrael, Shema Yisrael, Shema Yisrael, you're saying, I believe that everything is from the Ribbono Shel Olam, even my machshava zara, even my bad thoughts. So what the Baal Shem Tov doesn't deal with in this piece is that really the statement from the Gemara is really modim modim. Right, that's a statement from the Mishnah, that if someone says modim modim, we quiet him, and then Rabbi Zera gives an example of Shema Yisrael. That if someone says Shema Shema, you also quiet him. Right, that someone who says Shema Shema is dami, someone says modim modim. So Baal Shem Tov explained why Shema Yisrael, but I think there's an obvious connection to why dafka we would learn this from modim modim. Because what's somebody who would say thank you? Oh, sorry, I didn't have proper kavana, thank you. Right, if someone said thank you, what does that mean? That means that they believed that there's, in that first time when there was a thought, when there was a negativity coming to them, they were trying to thank the Ribbono Shel Olam, and they were trying to say, thank you Hashem for all the good things in my life, we have to give thanks to you on all the things that you do every morning, evening, afternoon, all the good that you do for us and for all of Klal Yisrael. And a Machshava Zara came to him and said, well, you're thanking him, but what about the fact that you're struggling for parnasa, or you're looking for a shidduch, or zera shel kayama, or refu shalima for somebody. I mean, are you really thanking him? So you say, I have to erase that thought from my head, let me see modim again. So we would say, no, that's a flaw. That you're supposed to be able to believe that even in your thank you, that we can thank Hashem on the bad just like we can thank on the good. That we can turn to the Ribbono Shel Olam and we could say, thank you Hashem. That even when something horrible happens, we can say, thank you Hashem, I know you have a plan, I know whatever you're doing is for a tikkun for my neshama, or to test me in the way I need to be tested in order to, hit my goal and accomplish my purpose in this world and my purpose in existence. So thank you, Ribbono Shel Olam. So the same way that the Baal Shem says, right, Shema Shema, that if someone has a machshava zara that makes him not have kavana by the first Shema and thinks he has to say Shema again, that means he doesn't believe in his Shema, doesn't believe in his Kabbalah Shema Shemaim. I think we could say the same part is true with the modim modim. That when a person says modim, thank you Hashem, and he's plagued by thoughts of, am I really thinking of Ribbono Shel Olam? But what about XYZ that's bad? Then that person is not supposed to say, oh, thank you again, let me think again, without thinking about those bad things. They're supposed to also thank Hashem for those negative things that might plague you and that might distract you and try to make you think that Hashem is not worthy of things. Say, I'm thanking you even on that. I'm going to thank you on the bad just like I thank you on the good.